Hello, friends. Welcome to Lunchtime Conversations. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser. And there is an amazing exhibition coming to St. Petersburg. Once again, the Warehouse Arts District, Marcus Gotchuk and Rodolfo are starting the season with an exhibit called The Unraveling, A Future Without USAID. And the opening reception is September 13th from 5 to 9 at the Tully Levine Gallery. With me today is Jude Lighton. She is a former USAID program officer who curated this. Welcome, Jude.
Thank you so much for having me.
I want to talk about your backstory, but I also want to talk about the artist, Ali Syverson, and the importance of this exhibition. Can you share with our listeners how this exhibition came about and why it's so important?
Sure. So I was talking with the new manager of events at WADA, Rodolfo Troncoso, who also happens to be my husband. And we were trying to come up with some ideas for new exhibits. He's now the events manager there. And I had just lost my job at USAID. And I said, you know, there's something that I want to do to channel my energy. You know, I have all this bewilderment and confusion about what's happening, but I need, and now I have all this time on my hands, and I just really want to do something. I need to do something. And he said, why don't we have an exhibit at WADA? And I said, he said, do you think we could do that? And I said, I think we could, because I actually know of an artist who has been painting kind of her journey as she is being let go from USAID and what that kind of means to her, as well as commemorating the projects and programs that we did at USAID through her paintings.
And this is Ali Syverson.
This is Ali Syverson. So I reached out to Ali. She was all for it. She was just totally on board from the very beginning. And then she decided that she would reach out to a couple different photographers that she knew who were also USAID employees who had documented our projects in the field. And that's something that kind of all of us do when we go to the field and we monitor our projects or survey our projects. We try to document them through photographs. And so she put the word out. I had wonderful feedback from about, I would say, maybe a dozen photographers. And from there, I started curating a collection of photographs that we could exhibit alongside Ali's paintings. So we have a collection of about, I would say, 20 of Ali's paintings that she's done over probably about the last 9 months or so. And then we have a collection of about 25 photographs that are from all different, I would say, across almost all the continents that we worked on at USAID, documenting all of our programming from health to humanitarian assistance to democracy and governance to biodiversity management and conservation. Those will also be displayed during the course of the exhibit in September.
You know, what I think is just amazing, first of all, the Warehouse Arts District has always illuminated and shined a light on these key issues that you're mentioning in a local level. This shines a light, a powerful artistic light, on global affairs and what's at stake when it disappears. So I want to talk a little bit more about the art that's in this and the panel that's coming up, but I want to talk a little bit about your background. You had a very distinguished career. You've been at the Brookings Institute. Tell us a little bit about your role as a Foreign Service Officer, what that was like with USAID.
Sure. So I was a Foreign Service Officer for 11 years with USAID, and then I transitioned into a contract position once I had left the Foreign Service. When I was in the Foreign Service, I served in posts in San Salvador, El Salvador, in Kabul, Afghanistan, and in Lima, Peru. And I also served in our Washington, D.C. office with our Africa programs and also our women's empowerment programming. After I left, I worked on an initiative coming out of the White House called Prosper Africa, which was the premier kind of trade and investment initiative between the United States and Africa, with the goal of increasing trade and investment between the United States and Africa. So really, you know, what USAID tries to do is not just go out and provide aid randomly to, you know, a handful of countries around the world. We worked in over 100 countries all over the world. And the main goal of USAID programming is really to advance U.S. foreign policy. It's a soft power approach. It was one of the arms of the development, diplomacy, defense, foreign policy that has been advocated for in previous administrations. And we really did that with very little funding, less than 1% of the U.S. federal budget. That's less than 1% of taxpayer dollars went to foreign aid. Now, compare that to about 30% that goes to defense spending. We did a lot, you know, and during my time, I was mostly in charge of budgets, monitoring and evaluation. So working with our technical programming in a wide variety of areas, health, education, democracy and governance, humanitarian assistance, you name it, we were there working on it. So I worked with all those technical programs to report on what we were doing to Congress. Very important, number one, because, you know, it has been, I guess, said that USAID, you know, there was a lot of corruption and fraud within USAID. But I can tell you, as someone who did the reporting, who worked with the budgets, there were so many eyes on what we did and how we got our money. And I personally saw that. I worked with Congress almost every day of my career to submit the reports, to show what we were doing with the funding, to help them track the funding that they gave us. So that was, I think that's a really important element of USAID that doesn't get mentioned much. There was a lot of oversight on the funding that we received from the Congress and the fact that we did so much with such little funding.
Well, you know, you're really going to be shining a light on the shifting landscape of what's going on. You have an incredible panel. Folks, first of all, the Artist Talk with Ali Syverson is September 17th, 5 to 7 p.m. That's the opening of the exhibit as well.
The opening of the exhibit is on September 13th. That will be
9.
In conjunction with the Second Saturday Art Walk that WADA hosts along with several other arts alliance, the Arts Alliance and several other arts enclaves in the area. And then, so that's September 13th. And then September 17th is the Artist Talk from 5 to 7 at the Arts Exchange campus. And that will be with the painter, Ali Syverson.
And then on September 24th, there will be a very informative panel, 5 to 7 p.m., of USAID alumni and policy experts. Please share with us some of the people who will be speaking that day with you as moderator.
Sure. I'll be moderating, yes. So we have Nancy Eslick. She was the United States Global Water Coordinator for USAID. She was also our country director. That means she was the head of all programming in Jordan, in Cambodia, and in Bosnia-Herzegovina. So she has a very kind of wide breadth of experience and view of our different programming, not only in the technical areas, but also in the regions in which we worked. Miles Toter will be another USAID alumni on the panel. He was a democracy and governance officer. He served on a provincial reconstruction team in Baghdad, so working closely with the military, which I think will be, you know, here in the Tampa Bay area, we do have such a strong military presence with the co-commands. I think that'll be a really interesting element for folks to learn about how USAID partnered with the military. I myself actually did a six-week rotation in U.S. Southern Command in Miami as part of my kind of onboarding at USAID, and I found that to be fascinating. And I'll tell you what, the folks at the military, they love USAID, and USAID loves working with the military because our work complements each other so much. In addition to that, we have Ali, who will also be on the panel. We have Tara Newsom, who is a St. Pete local. She's a professor of political science at St. Petersburg College. She's also the founder of the Center for Civic Engagement there. And she has just this breadth of experience from a local level on how local programming is affected by the closure of USAID, but also how USAID touched on local communities. And then finally, we'll have, I think that's it, actually. That'll be it for the panel.
Well, that's a lot of heavy hitters. You know, I think it's just politically resonant, but I also think it's important. It's an important reminder how art can bear witness. The Holocaust. Art can bear witness. We're having the Florida Holocaust Museum is reopening on September 9th. Art can bear witness. It's not surprising that they come for artists when there is a totalitarian government. It's not surprising that they suppress art. So I think that Warehouse Arts District is to be congratulated, and you're to be congratulated. I hope this is the first of many. I hope the show goes beyond just our town. I want to touch briefly, you mentioned that women's rights was one of the areas you worked in. Will you just, from your point of view, share with our listeners who might not be aware, when I want to talk about the issues that USA dealt with women's rights, but also with water. So let's start with women.
Sure. So I specifically actually worked on a program that was developed and created under the first Trump administration by Ivanka Trump called the Women's Global Development and Prosperity Program. And that was actually the first time in the history of USAID. Now, mind you, this is under the Trump administration, that we had money, specific funding amounts. I believe the first tranche of funding was from $10 to $15 million dedicated to women's empowerment programming. This was a huge milestone in the history of USAID. So one of the things that I did was help implement that programming. A lot of it, most of it, went to women's economic empowerment. So, you know, you're talking about helping women to succeed as entrepreneurs in their small businesses, whether that be selling corn nuts on the side of the road in Zambia or working in a textile mill in Kenya. You know, there's a whole host of different types of ways that we were able to support women as either entrepreneurs or small business owners. And then also women's, you know, kind of empowerment in the home, helping to help others understand, including, you know, husbands and local communities, that women have an important place as entrepreneurs. Women can be, you know, can both work in the home, but also work outside of the home. So those were the types of programming that we were doing under the Women's Economic Empowerment Program at USAID.
It's just absolutely fascinating, and it actually just speaks to the rural areas here as well, where women are searching for a way not just to matter, but to self-sustain, especially in single-parent homes. Water everywhere, and not a drop to drink. Talk to me a little bit about this and what USAID did to help with that issue all over the world.
Sure. So USAID focused on access to clean water and then access to sanitation. So what we call our water, sanitation, and hygiene programs, WASH, if you will. One of the things that I would say, you know, we did was trying to make sure that families had access to clean water within a certain mile radius of their homes. They weren't, you know, women mostly weren't having to travel miles and miles to, you know, a dirty water well somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Another program that we worked on was helping people in general get access to toilets. You know, there are 4.5 million people in the world who don't have access to a toilet. So this was something that we worked on quite a lot, and you'll see this documented in the photographs. We have quite a few that document kind of the different ways that we worked in communities in order to get them access to clean water, access to toilets, helping to educate populations about hand washing, for example. A lot of people don't realize that washing your hands is one of the number one ways that you can prevent the spread of disease. So just simple education programs, you know, don't drink from, you know, that well. Make sure that you are trying to access this clean water source. Make sure that you wash your dishes before. Things like this. People, you know, if you don't have the habits and the education, then you don't know. So very simple programming. That was something that we did in relationship to our work in the water and the sanitation sector.
Folks, if you've just joined me, I want to remind you that Jude is here with us. She's talking about the exhibit that she has curated, The Unraveling of Future Without USAID, opening reception September 13th, 5 to 9, Telly Levine Gallery at the Warehouse Arts District. And artist Alice Iverson, she was an international climate writer for USAID. And she's talking about not just the experiences she had in that role, but how a world without USAID and her art and her stories are going to be woven into the exhibition. There's a number of other photographers. And then finally, the panel. Her talk is September 17th, 5 to 7 p.m. The panel September 24th, 5 to 7 p.m. What do you want our listeners to know about this exhibit at the Warehouse Arts Exchange and how important it is for galleries, artists, museums to shine a light on issues?
That's a great question. And I think, so one of the things that I would say is art as documentation of history. So from the cave paintings in Lisieux, France, to, you know, we have documentation of the Spanish Inquisition from various painters during the 1600s, to what we're witnessing now, art has been a source of documentation that cannot be erased. And this is what I would like everyone to know, that this is documenting a moment in history. Whether you agree with what's happening or not, it's a documenting a moment in history. And I think it's important for everyone to come out and see the moment for themselves, to see the art, to see the projects, the documentation of what we did in these various countries around the world, to see the documentation of someone who is going through the loss of her job, the loss of her career, and how she's processing that through art. In addition to that, we'll be the panel, through the panel and the artist talk, we're also going to be highlighting the way that USAID supported the arts. Much of the programming that USAID did was through the arts, whether it was through plays, it could have been through the visual arts, whether it was through mural paintings. There were, you know, we had a program in Africa that was mural paintings talking about the spread of disease and how you can avoid the spread of disease through mural paintings. We had MTV Exit, which was a program that was talking about the dangers of human trafficking through MTV programming, so targeting young people who are most at risk for human trafficking. Sesame Street, we partnered with Sesame Street in Iraq, in Egypt for displaced, so the Sesame Street programming targeted young children to help them deal with feelings of displacement during times of war. So all these different ways that USAID supported the arts. That's one of the things, you know, I really want, you know, the community to understand that USAID wasn't just an organization where we were, you know, kind of pushing a lot of paper, but we were doing these projects. We were supporting the arts. We were out there trying to make lives better in countries around the world while furthering U.S. foreign policy.
I don't know if any of you remember the Family of Man book that I grew up with in the 60s, which was an incredible photos from all over the world. And I'm listening to you talk now, I have goosebumps. I hope that this goes on to be a book. I hope this goes on to be a traveling exhibition. I want to salute the Warehouse Arts District and Jude for being here with us today. Before I leave, Jude, I just want to say to you, you also have an interesting thing that you do now as well, and I hope that you will come back and talk with guests from the university on issues that are dear to your heart on podcasts here. But you also have a multimedia entertainment aspect. Just touch on that briefly, because this has been a very serious talk, but you're also such a fascinating woman. So share that other side.
Sure. So I am a co-owner of Satori Sounds, which is a live music, entertainment, and audiovisual company. We're based out of Miami, South Florida, but we also serve the greater Tampa Bay area. We're actually all over South Florida, from Orlando down to Naples and all over Miami. And our niche is mid-size hotels, large to mid-size events. So we do audiovisual for meetings, live, any kind of live entertainment, be it, you know, we live music, we span the range of quartets, ensembles, solo musicians, any kind of music that you would want, we can provide. In addition to that, performing. So our latest kind of trend has been the cigar roller, to have the cigar roller at your event. So we can provide a cigar roller, any kind of dancing. We're
having a tango.
Yes, we're partnering with WADA to do a tango night for their fundraiser on November 20th. So we're going to bring in some tango dancers. We've brought in salsa dancers for different events. So
live painting performances. I have to say, this is so exciting. This is really going to be an exciting event. And so we're so lucky to have Rodolfo here and for you to be in doing what you're doing. Marcus Gottschlick, executive director, as we all know, Marcus is a Steinway piano artist. Rodolfo, I have his new CD, fabulous. So even though we are talking about this very serious and important exhibition, The Unraveling of Future Without USAID with Jude, we think that this is a launching pad for a podcast with guests for you.
Oh, well, that would be great.
And we love the Warehouse Arts District. Please tune in to Let's Go Guide. We'll be talking about all the events. Jude, we want to thank you so much for being on Radio St. Pete today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was great.
I'm your host, Nanette Weiser. Please, please go see The Unraveling of Future Without U.S. Aid at the Warehouse Arts District.